In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and do not be afraid." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. This is the word of the Lord. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, through whom all things were made? And do you believe that he is the Redeemer of the world, who was conceived and born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate and rose again the third day from the dead to give eternal life and salvation to all who believe in him? I know you do, but I also know that you have all had times of doubt. Is it really true? I know because the scriptures teach that there wages within each one of us as Christians a battle between faith in Christ and unbelief. In this world, we walk by faith and not by sight. So we see pictures of Jesus on the cross, but we weren't there. We have manger scenes with the creche and children dressed in costumes reenacting the birth of Jesus, but we weren't there. We have the icons on the wall which depict biblical scenes from the baptism of our Lord, wherein the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," or the transfiguration of our Lord, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," but we weren't there. The Apostle Peter reminds us in today's epistle, speaking on behalf of his fellow apostles, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." On the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were called to witness the majesty of the Lord as he was transfigured and the very glory of the eternal Son of God was allowed to be manifest in his flesh in a way that they had not seen before. I want you to understand what the disciples witnessed. They knew the Virgin Mary. She often traveled with them. They would have talked with her. What was it like to be his mother? What was he like as an infant? He was just like any other infant. He ate, he slept, and he needed his diaper changed. And when they, as grown men, first encounter Jesus, he is baptized in the Jordan River, and he looks like any other man from Judea who came to John to be baptized by him in the Jordan River. Throughout the earthly ministry, those 3 years that they were with Jesus, and Matthew chapter 17 that records the transfiguration is toward the very end of that three-year ministry. He is about to set his face to Jerusalem, to his suffering and death upon the cross. What did they witness? They got tired. in their sojourn, so did he. They got dirty and dusty and calloused feet, and so did he. He needed to sleep, and so did he. They needed to eat and to drink, and so did he. He looked an ordinary man, for they beheld him in his state of humiliation. It is true, by words he healed the sick. By words he gave comfort to sinners. By words he even raised the dead. But he looked an ordinary man. The Apostle Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But how often are you and I tempted to believe by that warfare between faith and unbelief within our hearts, maybe this is all there is. But it isn't all there is. In the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus, we see that he is the eternal Son of the living God. And we also behold in the transfiguration of his flesh the glory that awaits us all. Now we walk by faith, but on the last day when the trumpet sounds, then the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. There will be no longer any warfare within us between faith and unbelief. We will no longer be walking by sight, by faith, but by sight only. In Jesus' transfiguration, we see the glory of the resurrection and what the Apostle Peter says in his second epistle. We will become partakers of the divine nature. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be encouraged this day, because the warfare that exists in your heart between faith and unbelief existed in every believer who has ever gone before us. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus in the transfiguration, and they talked with Jesus. St. Luke says they talked about his suffering and death, which was about to occur upon the cross. But I'd like you to think about the witness of the faithfulness of God's grace to those two Old Testament prophets. When Moses was in the vigor of youth at 40 years of age, that's when he had to leave Egypt and sojourn in the land of Midian for 40 years. And when he was 80, he was called at the burning bush by the Lord, who says, I have seen the oppression of my people. Now go to Egypt. I will be with you. And through your words, I will deliver my people as I have promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am who I am. And in spite of the vision of the glory of God at the burning bush, it is clear from the pages of Exodus that Moses so often operated from a position of doubt, of fear, of unbelief himself. He refers to himself on several occasions as a man of uncircumcised lips. You don't circumcise the lips, but the expression is one of a man who says, I'm not even certain I believe the word that I am called to preach. But God's grace was faithful to Moses and to the children of Israel, because he acted according to his promise. When they were faithless, he remained faithful. He could not deny himself, and he acted. He performed all of the wonders in Egypt, the judgment through the 10 plagues, and ultimately delivered them through the blood of the Passover lamb. And he brought them to the mountain of the Lord, just as he had promised. That mountain of the Lord, the place of his presence, his saving presence, is but a type of the mountain that we all shall journey to, because the Lord is faithful to us. And on the last day, we will be transfigured with him in the resurrection. Through Moses' doubts and fears and unfaithfulness, the Lord's word of grace sustained him. And then there is the prophet Elijah. During his ministry, he looked a pathetic character. He had to run all around the countryside during the reign of King Ahab and his wicked queen Jezebel in order to avoid persecution and death. There was nothing in Elijah the prophet that looked anywhere near spectacular as a man. And though he too, like Moses, had witnessed the miracles of the Lord, he was often filled with depression. And he said on one occasion, "Just kill me," as if he could no longer endure the trials, the tribulation of the ministry to which he was called. And just like the Lord sustained Moses, he sustained Elijah, and he didn't cast him off. What a great comfort it is. Go, Elijah. Speak the word that I've given you to speak. And by the word of grace, he upheld and strengthened Elijah in his humble ministry to call people to repentance, even though so many of them, like Ahab and Jezebel, hardened their hearts against the Lord's word. Through it all, the Lord's word of mercy and grace was the greatest manifestation of his glory, because it was a word of self-giving, sacrificial love. You see, you and I, in our faith in this world, on this side of the resurrection, are not sustained by great manifestations of spectacular power. You and I are sustained and know the truth of the gospel when our Lord, through the mouth of his servants, forgives our sins and proclaims to us a love and a mercy and a forgiveness that we do not deserve, but which he so freely desires to give to us. This is what Moses learned. It is what Elijah learned. It is what Peter, James, and John learned when they scattered and fled from him who laid down his life for them. He did not turn his back on them, nor does he turn his back on you. This is the hidden glory, the hidden glory of self-giving sacrificial love that is manifest for all to see in the Mount of Transfiguration, when this glory shines through his flesh. And when the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised incorruptible, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this corruptible flesh, with a raging warfare between faith and unbelief within, will be no more, for it will put on incorruption and immortality. And what we have a foretaste of here through the Lord's body and blood in the sacrament will shine forth in your flesh and in mine in all of its fullness, for we shall be eternally partakers of the divine nature of our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial, self-giving love. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.